Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Well, it goes without saying that the attacks on September 11, 2001 transformed every American in some way. But for those personally affected, we have to acknowledge it was and always will be different. For the last month, we've been asking, what have we learned since September 11th? Now I'll ask that question specifically of people listening who were personally affected, those who survived the attacks and the loved ones of those who died. So we open the phone specifically now for those of you who lost someone close to you in the attacks, or if you yourself were a World Trade Center survivor. What have you learned in the past 5 years? Have you reconsidered your place in the universe, your place in the political universe, your place in the cosmic universe, your relationship to your family and friends? Through dealing with your grief or pain or trauma, have you learned important lessons about yourself? Have you learned important lessons about others close to you, or about the world and your place in it, or your country's place in it, or your religion's place in it? 5 years later, do you see that day any differently? Do you see God or morality or love or leadership or the American way of life any differently than you did? Has the gravity of this event prompted profound change in your thinking? Please give us a call to share what you have learned with others who you might want to hear it. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And joining us to help take your calls is Dr. Elaine Valdov, psychotherapist and director of the September 11th Family Relations Program, another program called Finding New Hope, and president of the International Institute for a Culture of Peace. We're also joined by Yubeli Santos, who lost her husband on 9/11, and Christopher Bauman, an NYPD officer injured in the attacks. Thank you all very much for being with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Elaine, tell us a little bit more about your organization, September 11th Family Relations for Finding New Hope. That's the name?
Actually, I'm the director of the Family Affairs for Finding New Hope.
Okay.
Which is a program that was funded and started by Rotary International, by Lions International, and Friendship Ambassadors. And basically, it's been a program that's been going on since 9/11, and doing multiple retreats and camps and all kinds of counseling for people who have been affected by 9/11.
You've worked with people who've lost loved ones from events other than 9/11, too, in your previous work. Do you find that the grieving process is harder or more complicated or different in any other way from other kinds of loss?
You know, Brian, grieving is different for every single person, regardless of why it happened. However, I think that for 9/11, it just feels like grieving in the public eye is different. That's one thing. Because many times you have to keep quiet what you really feel. And grieving also in the public eye means that, I mean, we live in a society that doesn't really deal well with death and wants to say that, okay, well, that's over now and let's move on. But those of us who have had any losses in our life, which means almost every single person, knows that loss does not just come and go, you know, with a time clock. And even if we look at today, 5 years is just a blink of the eye when we talk about feelings of the heart.
Yubeli Santos, thank you very much for coming on with us. Will you tell us a little bit about your husband who was killed at the World Trade Center? Who was he? What did he do there?
He was Colombian. He came when he was 9, and he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, in the computer department. He, you know, he worked for that in that building all his life, like for 20 years.
Mm.
And he was in the first attack in 1993.
Oh,
he survived.
He was there for the first one, too.
Yeah. So, you know, in Colombia, we have guerrillas. It's a lot of problems, political problems. So we decided to stay here and, you know, to have our family here. And we never thought that something like this could happen, you know.
I guess you thought you were escaping the political violence.
Yes.
And for you, losing your husband that day also meant becoming a single parent of two small children, now 7 and 9, is that right?
7 and 10, yeah.
7 and 10. What do you say to them about 9/11 and about this 5th anniversary?
That's the hardest part, you know, because they miss their daddy. And they ask me, Mommy, why, you know, why we don't have a daddy? Why the bad people come and kill my daddy? And what is, you know, it's been done to avoid something like that. And they want to have a daddy, you know, and that's something very hard because there's no way I can do that. So, you know, it's hard to explain because I don't understand what, you know, what happened. So I just say, you know, we are love and we have to believe in God and in God, and your father is with, you know, with us, and we have to keep going because we love him. And, you know, thanks to these groups like the one Dr. Elaine has, there are groups and organizations that help us. You know, they provide support and they provide things to do.
Yes.
To cover that emptiness, you know, to fill the emptiness.
To cover the emptiness, to fill the emptiness. Dr. Valdov, you have worked with Ubeli as an individual as well as with many other people. You want to tell us how you work with her and how you work with others in these groups?
Well, Ubeli, how about that? Ubeli is this magnificent person, a magnificent mother with two great kids. They're so lucky to have a mother like that who really, I would say Ubeli has really built her life now around her two boys. And I think that with all of us who are widows, I put myself in that category, that there's always, you just need someone to understand what the pain is like. And you also need someone to understand that it goes up and down, and one day it'll be not so bad, and one day you just may want to close yourself off to the world. So there's a really strong understanding that you need. Plus, you just need to hear that people see such strengths in you, like Ubeli has great strengths, and you need to get that confidence back. But I would say, Brian and Ubeli, that when you have such a great loss, we have to find so many strengths, and one of those strengths is our creative ability, because we have to create a new life. And every single person who was involved in 9/11, which are thousands and thousands, are in the process, were in the process, and will continue to be in the process of creating a new life, one that they never thought they would have to create.
My guests on WNYC, Dr. Elaine Valdov, psychotherapist and director of family programs for the group Finding New Hope. Did I get that right that time?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And Ubeli Santos, one of the people she's worked with, and Christopher Bauman, a New York City police officer who was wounded on 9/11. Chris, thank you very much for coming on with us. Thank you for your service. And how badly were you hurt, and how is your health today?
I was thrown around a little bit that day. I got thrown back from the South Tower blast. I got some head, neck, and back injuries. I'd gone blind for a little while from the chemicals entering my eyes.
Wow. And you regained your eyesight?
Not 100%, but enough to get around.
Mm-hmm. You're in a pretty small group because, for the most part, people were killed or just got out. How do you feel as a World Trade Center survivor?
I'm dealing with a lot of issues, survivor guilt issues. When the South Tower came down, I got thrown, and got, you know, I was thrown the whole world in that area was thrown into blackness for a while, and when it finally turned a little gray and I was able to get around, I just, the sights I saw, that, the feelings if you'd pushed yourself a little more, done a little more, ran a little faster, you might have been able to help one or two more people than you did at that time.
Boy, of all things to be beating yourself up for. Dr. Valdov?
Well, hi, Chris.
How you doing, Doc?
All right. Chris also is this magnificent man, and just to meet him, you know that he's out there to help everybody. And since Chris, about 4 years ago we met?
Yeah, about four.
Yeah, and he's such a magnificent man with his kids, and he goes to these retreats and programs, meets other people who have either been injured or have lost ones, and he's there to help them right now. And, I think one of the things you offer, Chris, people now, I know you feel that survivor guilt, but I think one of the things that you offer people is that because of the strength that they see in you now, there's a certain kind of safety that they feel around you, and I think that that's one of the major things that people feel fear of right now, that their safety is gone.
Chris, I'm curious, have you seen Oliver Stone's World Trade Center movie? It's about two police officers who were trapped and badly injured but survived.
No, I did not, and I will not.
It would just be too tough for you?
A lot of people have asked me, and I lived it, and just seeing anything like that brings back some sights, some smells, and voices I'd rather not remember.
Yeah. Dr. Valdov, did you see the movie?
Yes, I did. I almost didn't, but I actually went to go see it, Chris, because I thought I was going to get so many questions about it, and if I didn't, or people would be talking to me about it, and if I didn't see it, I wouldn't know how to respond. And
And yet people.
and I can't respond.
and
oh God!
But maybe the people you work with are choosing not to see it. It was, a very hard thing for anybody to see, I think maybe people who are too close to it shouldn't see it.
Yeah.
Elaine.
Yeah.
Many of the retreats that you've led have been free, and many of the attendees come from low-income backgrounds.
Yes.
And while there's no way to compare the loss, have you noticed the aftermath playing out differently with lower-income families versus more well-off families?
Well, loss is loss, and pain is pain, no matter where you sit or how much money seems to be in your pocket at any given time. I know, though, that a lot of lower-income families had a tremendous amount of difficulty in getting services, which we would like to think in this big city or this world of ours would not be the case, but it is the case. I know that there are a lot of people that I think the world thinks that all these people who were affected by 9/11 received large amounts of funding. That's not the case. And so those who were in a lower income bracket, many of which did not know also how to go about receiving
benefits,
did not get it.
Maybe not used to accessing the professional services of psychotherapists and so forth.
Right, right.
We're going to take a one-minute break, then we'll continue. We'll bring you Billy Santos back into it, more from Police Officer Christopher Bauman. We have another woman who Dr. Valdov has worked with, and we'll take your phone calls on what you have learned as a survivor or the relative of a loved one. 212-433-WNYC. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. as we continue with our series, What Have We Learned in the 5 years since September 11th? Today we're talking specifically with people who are survivors or who lost loved ones on what they have learned. We have some guests, and we're opening up the phones for you if you're in either of those categories. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And my guests for this segment, Dr. Elaine Valdov, director of September 11th Family Relations for the group Finding New Hope. She works with many survivors and family members of those who were killed. She's also president of a group called the International Institute for a Culture of Peace. Yubeli Santos, who lost her husband on September 11th, is with us, and New York City police officer Christopher Bauman, who was injured during the attacks. And also joining us briefly right now is Roxana Batista, who lives in Queens. I mistakenly said before the break that Dr. Valdov works with her too. She doesn't, but Roxana lost her sister in the 9/11 attacks. And Roxana, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your sister and how you're processing this fifth anniversary?
Well, should have been 28 by now. I'm sorry, 29. She was an accountant at the building. It was a tremendous loss for me. She's my only sister. She never had kids, so, you know, it's just me and my mom now and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
She was a wonderful person. She was my son, you know, even though she was my younger sister. And, I mean, the anniversary is just, you know, just to... I rather remember her as a person, not as the day that she died.
Right.
It's something so tragic, especially for my mom.
Remember her for the life that she lived.
Exactly. I really don't like to remember her by September 11. I like to remember her as one of the most important people in my life.
How do you feel that you've changed in these 5 years?
Well, she always wanted me to go to school, so I've been going to school for the past year. I've been there for, well, you know, I have kids and all, but my sister was really more attached to my mom and attentive to her needs, so I've been trying just to, you know, fill in that space that she left behind by helping my mom with everything I could, my family, just being there like she was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was always around. I'm just trying to fulfill my mom with that loss.
Right.
I can't do nothing else.
And do you feel like your relationship to the rest of the world has changed in some way? Have you changed politically or what would you like to say?
Well, I just don't get aggravated like I used to for any little thing. I see life so different. Life is just here and it can go tomorrow. And my sister's death showed me that, you know, if I don't have to worry about so many things because, you know, you live for tomorrow and I don't have my sister tomorrow. So why would I get mad or why would I take them? Little things, nothing bothers me anymore. I have the most patience in the world. I think I'm a better mom now, a better daughter. And it's a shame that her absence is the reason why I'm like this now. But I see life completely different. I have more expectations in life now. I take life seriously and at the same time, I see it so beautiful.
Roxana, thank you very much for coming on with us. It sounds like through your loss, you've actually grown a lot. So maybe there's at least a silver lining for you in this.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yubeli Santos, can I go back to you? Does that does any of that Roxana just said resonate with you, or what would you talk about regarding your own changes?
Well, I have changed a lot. I think that I'm a better person. You know, as an immigrant, I feel isolated because I don't have family in this country. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't trust people so easily, but I try to do it because I think, you know, we are just energy and we are, you know, I'm full of love. I lost my husband, but I have to do the best of me and give love to my children and teach them that, you know, not everybody's bad. You know, it's wonderful people there who can help you and you can help them if you are able to do it. And, you know, I don't have any expectation.
Mm-hmm,
I used to have expectation of things that you have to give and do things without expecting to get something from whatever you do, you know? So...
And that's changed? Yeah, oh, you mean you used to have expectations yeah. that you would get something back?
Yeah, like if I met somebody to be friend with that person. But now, you know, I try to be friendly. If they come to me, if they open their heart, they want to share or spend some time with me, that's fine. If no, you know, I didn't have any expectations, so that's fine. Because, you know, I have met so many people, like people who work in those in this group and another widows, and everybody's so different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Christopher Bauman, Officer Bauman, how do you think your relationship to the world has changed?
It's a difficult question. I'm more scared for my children's future than I was prior to 9/11. As science and technology advances, more means to hurt them become available. So I'm very scared that way as far as my kids' future. My view of the world, in basic, it's gone very good. Through Dr. Elaine's retreats, I got to meet one of the greatest people, humanitarians I've ever met, which is Dr. Elaine.
All right.
Guinness Book of World Records should get hold of her because I think she's got the biggest heart.
You'll be happy to know you just caused a smile from ear to ear on her face.
So through meeting other people at her retreats and seeing we're all alike in soul from all different nationalities. We had Korean, Spanish, you name it. It was a mix, a blend of people. And just be able to sit together and touch everybody's hearts, you know, without directing us, it's brought on a lot more enlightenment to me as far as how much good there is in people's hearts and how much we're all alike. So, and one aspect, it's been a very good thing as far as that has come about, but it's also brought a lot of fear for my kids.
Yes. Dr. Veldov, what would you like to say about that?
Well, bless your heart, Chris, first of all. It's, you know, really been my, you know, it's hard to talk about some of these things. It's been my honor to be there for everyone. When my husband died the year before of cancer, there were so many people that reached out, and it was just like being able to give back in a very profound way. And I was given to, and continue to be given to, so much too. When we have retreats, it's true, as Chris said, we have people coming from all different nationalities and sharing in very profound ways from their hearts and really wanting to be there for each other. It's like this small United Nations that's really working well.
And you've obviously touched Chris Bauman's heart and Yubeli Santos's heart. So congratulations on your work since September 11th. And WNYC listeners, survivors of the attack or loved ones of someone who was killed, again, our phones are open for you. What do you want to tell the world about what you have learned in the last 5 years about yourself or people close to you, about the world and your place in it, about morality or love or your government or your religion or the media or anything else? And what do you want the rest of us to understand about your situation with the five-year anniversary coming on Monday? What do you think the country, including the media, should be focusing on? And did the attacks on September 11th, despite all of the tragedy and horrific loss, result in anything good for you? We've heard a few examples, I think, from our guests. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Ron in Glen Ridge. You're on WNYC. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I hope the phone stays open here. I'm on a mobile phone.
Okay, sound good so far.
My sister Ruth McCourt was killed, along with Juliana, her daughter. And along with it on the second plane to hit the towers, and I happened to be in the tower at the same time.
Mm. Wow.
Taking care of a woman that was badly burnt, Jenny Ann Maceo. Since then, I've learned a lot. I've learned to, treat life as very special. I think we're living in an incredible age of technology. I think that we're there's a lot to live for. There's a lot that we can contribute to the world as individuals, no matter who you are. And I just wanted to give you those comments.
Thank you very much. Dr. Veldov, do you want to say anything to Ron?
Ron, I'm so sorry for your losses. And so glad to meet you with your big heart. And I know that many times when we experience the depth of pain, it also opens up a place for us really to experience almost the other side. You know, when you think about the agony and the ecstasy, they kind of come together. So when you talk about life being really special and a lot to live for, I'm sure that your sister and her daughter, the lady that you helped who was burned, are so grateful to you. So I personally want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. We're talking on WNYC with Dr. Elaine Veldov, director of September 11th Family Relations for the group Finding New Hope, and a few of the people she's worked with, and now taking your phone calls if you were a survivor or lost a loved one on September 11th. Rich in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Good. I'm one of five people that got off the 90th floor of one of the North Tower, One World Trade. And so it was an interesting adventure that day, and I helped a woman down and everything else who I found. She was a stranger. I met up with her about a year later to see how she was doing. So, oddly enough, while the day itself was horrendous, and I lost my cousin up at Cantor, and so it, you know, was a very personal day in a lot of different ways,
uh-huh.
I was 49 when that happened, and I turned 50 2 weeks later. And I actually found it gave me the ability, I guess it took a large hit in the head to do it, it gave me the ability to just rethink large parts of my life and just say, okay, for the next 50 years, what's going to make sense and what's not.
Mm.
So in its own strange way, it became a point of go forward for me.
So what did you change?
Well, let's see. Now, I had a pretty horrific marriage due to infidelities and decided to end that. Kept my career and just decided that I was going to help a lot more people than my profession usually allowed me to, which was you know, Wall Street-centric and fairly self-centered. So it's been very valuable in its own way. I mean, I just changed myself. I did a lot of introspection as an individual and decided what I was going to keep going forward, and one of them, unfortunately, was a marriage, which I decided not to.
It made you ask the question, what's important? Dr. Veldov, you hear a lot of that?
I hear a tremendous amount of that. I hear people talking about whether it was 5 years ago, well, maybe not 5 years ago, but maybe 4 years ago or to today. One of the things that people continue to search for is, what is meaning then? What's important? What's the meaning of life for them? They search for it, and when they've found it, and when they find out what's important, whether it's a very small thing or a very large thing, somehow they have the strength to go for it that they never would have had before. It's really rather miraculous. And whether that means a new direction in life, whether that means something that they have put off, but what's most important is the search for meaning.
Rich, thanks a lot for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Ubeli, Chris, any reactions to the callers that you've been hearing so far? Ubeli?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that people go in the right way. You know, that's good that people look inside and find themselves what they want. And if they have to do any change, they have to do it, and that's wonderful, you know? For me, I said now the most important person are my boys. So I haven't done a lot for myself, but, you know, I always said I have to take advantage of every second in my life because I don't know how long I'm going to live.
Mm-hmm. So. I wonder for each of you what it's like watching the media since 9/11, whether your media consumption patterns have changed because what the media may see is just fodder for a story is just so personal and maybe painful for you. Chris Bauman, how has that been for you, and how has it been just recently around all this anniversary coverage?
It's hard because you'll flip through the channels and suddenly they'll be doing a preview of an event they're going to be showing for 9/11, and if it catches you off guard, it could throw you back there. temporary time, depending on what's shown. So I find it a little hard. I actually try to avoid the media a couple of weeks before 9/11.
You, Belly, you too?
Yes, I try to avoid the media because, you know, it's like we work so hard to grieve and, you know, be better and try to, you know, my husband is dead and it's nothing I can do and I have to keep going on life. But then when I see all those things, you know, everything comes back to me and it's like going back, you know, to that moment.
Dr. Veldhoff, do you advise people with respect to media consumption?
Well, again, I think everybody is different. Today, actually, right before I came down here, I saw a trailer on a TV about a show that was going to happen, which was an interview of brothers who lost brothers. And it brought tears to my eyes. They were talking, although, about how important it was for them to tell the story about their brother, and they wanted everyone to hear that. So I kind of look at it in two ways. Sometimes I think it's superb, and sometimes I think it's a documentary of a celebration of life. However, I know that not everybody can feel it and or experience it like that, and the sometimes sensationalism that is seen in the memories that brought back are just not the ones that you want at that time.
Do you have opinions as to what kind of media around the fifth anniversary is kind of socially useful and what kind is destructive?
I think seeing pictures over and over again of the attacks, I don't think is helpful at all. I think when people talk, we were talking about an anniversary. So an anniversary conjures up a lot of different feelings, but an anniversary should be, in all of our lives, a celebration. If we can move our pain into a place of a celebration of either the lives of people that we have, that have come before us, the celebration of the lives that those persons that we have loved, that have lost, a celebration of the people that we've met since, I think then an anniversary seen on media is fine if we can celebrate and honor.
Chris and Ubelli and Elaine, I know you have to go in under a minute. Chris, real quick, have you changed politically on this?
Politically, I don't see the current administration has done enough for the people who have been injured. There were a lot of people who didn't have insurance, that lost pensions for being down there and being injured. A lot of it due to psychological reasons. They just couldn't go into the city and work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the current government just didn't take care of the people like they should have.
All right. New York's New York City police officer Chris Bauman, who was injured on 9/11, Ubelli Santos, who lost her husband, and Dr. Elaine Veldhoff, director of September 11th Family Relations for Finding New Hope. Thank you all very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Our phones are still open, and we'll hear more of your stories and tributes and changes in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. On Monday morning's program on September 11th, 2006, we want to program some music on this show, as well as take many phone calls about what people have learned and what you're thinking. We'll have some guests as well, Reverend Forbes from the Riverside Church, among others. But we want your music suggestions. What do you think is appropriate for that day? What have you been listening to that inspires you or helps you through? What music do you associate with the September 11th attacks that has had meaning for you personally? Please email us your music suggestions. Send them to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org, Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And again, on Monday morning, on the fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks, we have to do something, and we will spend part of the morning reading many of the emails that you've sent us over the last month on the question, what have we learned? And you can still send one in today or over the weekend. What have you learned about yourself as an individual or about your place in the world or about our country or morality or politics or war or love, anything at all? What have you learned? What have we learned? What have we not learned, for that matter, which some of the emails have focused on? And we'll read a bunch of those emails on Monday. Again, send them to Brian Larashow at WNYC.org. And we're doing that right now specifically for people personally affected, for people who yourself were survivors of the attack on September 11th, maybe in the World Trade Center, or went down to help, or a survivor in any other way, or if you lost a loved one there, as we ask, what have you learned in the past 5 years? Have you, as we heard from some of our previous guests, reconsidered your place in the universe, your place in the political universe, your place in the cosmic universe, your relationship to your family and friends? Through dealing with your grief or pain or trauma, have you learned important lessons about yourself? Have you learned important lessons about others close to you or about the world and your place in it or your country's place in it or your religion's place in it? 5 years later, do you see that day any differently than you did 4 years afterwards? Do you see God or morality or love or leadership or the American way of life any differently than you did? Give us a call and share what you've learned as a survivor or loved one of someone who was killed that day. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Chino in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Chino.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
I'm all right. I just trying to live life day by day.
Trying to live life day by day. And where were you on?
I was in the first tower in the fourth basement. I was working in the sheet metal shop. Didn't have any idea what was taking place, what was going on. Didn't hear anything about a plane was in the building. Didn't know nothing. So I stepped in out the sheet metal shop to go to the pump shop to finish up my work. And the only thing I heard was a boom. And I was on the ground. And a friend of mine that was with me, he started to scream. He says, oh, my family, my wife, my children, we want to die down here, Chino. I said, die? I said, I don't know what's going on. How are we going to die? He said, yeah, you didn't hear the explosion. I said, well, I just heard of explosion and they had me on the ground. I can't move.
Huh.
I got my ankle was shattered. And he said, how are we going to get out of here? We're going to die down here. I said, no, we're not going to die down here.
How did you get out?
Well, I knew the how to get up because I was working there for 12 years. They had a plenum in the back of the sheet metal shop, and they had a door go to the parking lot. But as I said, I don't know what was going on. There's a chance, there's a catch-21 going that way because I don't know what was going on. So I said, okay, let us go through there. He said, but I said, look, I can't walk. So you get there, I don't know what's going on. Get on your knees and your hand and crawl to that door and wait for me.
Hmm.
So he crawled to the door and waited for me, and I crawled on my side. And when I got to the door, I said, give me a hand, help me up. So when he hold me, he was so nervous that he started shaking. I said, calm yourself down, Jose, calm yourself down. I said, we're going to get out of here. So he calmed down, and he said, where are we going? I said, that door over there. I don't know what's going on, but that's the door we're going to go through. So he got me on my feet, and he was looking to the door, so I looked down on my foot. And when I looked, I saw my ankle was dangling like a pendulum. I said, wow, what is this? But I didn't feel any pain at that present moment. All I feel was like a burning, like when you get burned with hot oil.
And then did some vehicle evacuate you?
Yeah, well, what happened, when we got out there, the Secret Service them was in the building. Because when they opened the door, some of my co-workers were there, and they screamed at me, said, don't look at your foot, don't look at your foot. So they took me over to the... over where the parking lot was, and a Secret Service guy said, put him down on the ground. So the one guy went and get 2 pieces of board and make a splint. And then a guy by the name of Lewis, I don't know his first name. I really like to meet that man because that's the guy that got me out. I know he's from Georgia. He worked for Fitzgerald on the second building.
So you're looking for a guy named, last name Lewis from Cantor Fitzgerald.
I don't know if it's his first name or his last name, but he had a white Bronco.
With a white Bronco.
With a white Bronco.
Mr. Lewis, if you're listening, give us a call because Chino, who you helped to save, would like to meet you at 212-433-WNYC. Chino, I want to get some other callers on. Thank you for sharing your September 11th story with us. Do you want to tell us at all how you think you have most changed since then?
Well, the only thing that I have known that I got closer to the Lord. And I think different, I act different, which, you know, I have no choice because, you know, things that I used to do, I can't do. I used to run, I used to play basketball, I used to play soccer. I can't do that anymore. You know, but I thank God for life, and I change in a way that I will try to help any individual, any people that is in distress and I can help. I am willing to go out there and do what I can to help them. And I have more responsibility, and I look at responsibility more serious, and I look at you know, not to get in unnecessary discussion and unnecessary argument because that's going to get me anywhere. Mm. So all of those things that I used to do, I change. I don't do those things anymore. I don't
sounds
try to
like
argue.
You.
I don't try to fight. Well, you know, so these are the things that I do.
Sounds
know,
like you've grown a lot. And, Chino, hang on. We're going to put you on hold. And if you want, we'll take your phone number off the air just in case Mr. Lewis, who helped to get you out of there that day, does call in since you said you'd like to meet him. So, Chino, thanks again for your call. I really appreciate it. Jenny in Katona, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. I had called in. I was actually in the car and had just turned on the radio when you were asking your guests about the Oliver Stone movie.
Yes.
And my husband was on that. He is a survivor. He was on the 81st floor of the North Tower and actually stayed behind to help some people
mm-hmm.
and was in the North Tower when the South Tower collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was sort of in between around World Trade 5, actually. And he was stuck under debris and was taken out by a fireman through the Borders books. And so we're one of these, you know, very, very, very fortunate people. And people have been asking us so much if we're going to see the movie. And I guess our take on it was similar to The Police Officer, I believe it was, that
yes.
was on your show.
Yes.
I just turned it on at that moment.
Yeah,
but
he just couldn't bring himself to see it. It would be too tough for him.
Right. Well, I think we have the same feeling. More so, not only just that part, but it's not history to people who experienced it. You know, and I know my grandparents would never see Schindler's List because for them, that wasn't history. That was their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the same way for this movie. People who experienced it, you know, he doesn't need to know what it's like for a character portrayed by Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Now, I did not get to interview Oliver Stone about the movie before or after I saw it. I did get to speak with a producer of United 93.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that they made that film, and I'm guessing that the producers of World Trade Center would say the same thing, really made it as a historical record, not to try to throw it in the face of survivors yourselves, but to have it there for people who were not close. As I said at the beginning of the hour, in a way, September 11th, you know, has left us with two groups, those who are personally affected and everybody else.
Oh, well, I think that's very true. And I think it's sort of another thing I thought of when you were interviewing the guest is that it really has divided people that way, and people want so badly to have some affiliation to the day,
mm-hmm.
I feel, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I was on the beach for vacation a couple of weeks ago, and my five-year-old son was playing with another boy, and I said to the father, oh, how old's your son? And he said, he'll be five September 9th. And then he looked at me, and he said, he was born 2 days before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, okay. There were people born there, you know. I mean, it doesn't. It just everyone wants to have some type of affiliation with it, and you know. So I understand that. I guess for the people who weren't part of it to see the movie and to have that as a historical mark,
but for
people who were involved, he lived it, and thankfully lived through it.
Jenny, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck, Suzanne in Rye. You're on WNYC. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Brian. I was about to turn your program off because I'm trying to avoid most media, and I'm actually glad I listened to it. It's been really great.
Thank you. I lost
my brother.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
He worked for Cantor Fitzgerald. And I really wanted to respond to Dr. Valdoff because I do think she's right on about creating your life or going on after, you know, any kind of death, but particularly for those of us involved with 9/11. You know, my life came to really a standstill for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to, does this become the defining moment of my life? And which is probably what the Al-Qaeda people want. And, you know, I just don't think that's the right way to go or the healthy way to go. And you have to move beyond that. So I think she's very right about creating a life and in a way to move on.
And you're saying it in a slightly different way, which is that one of the reasons to create a life and move on is so the terrorists don't win.
Right, right. Because I think they still are clapping their hands saying that, you know, this decimated us. And, you know, by not moving on, by not trying to, embrace life, they do win. And, you know, that's not what my brother or I think anybody else in those towers wanted. So, I agreed with that. And anybody who wants to be affiliated with 9/11, they can have it. I sure don't.
You'll trade.
Yeah, anytime. Anything to get my brother back, but it's just not the way it is.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for your loss. I appreciate your calling
a
lot.
Thank you. Bye.
And Mary Lynn in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mary Lynn.
Hi. Good morning. And I was thinking about what it is that I would say that would be relevant. And what it feels like, I guess I'm speaking for the people who felt emotionally affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my life, I felt that when the buildings went down as I watched them and shot them with my cameras, that I myself pulverized with that first tower. And when that happened, I've had a journey that continues even now to find out why I lost myself that day and how to come back. I created a quilt project where I got very involved with the families because I needed to help. I needed to do something, and I was looking for work at the time. But I gave my life up, and I learned some very important lessons about what it means to be resilient and how you feel you have a right to a life. And being that I didn't lose anyone personally, though many years ago I had worked in the buildings,
mm-hmm.
It was a hard fight because in a way you feel illegitimate. You feel like you don't have a right to claim anything. And then with the dividing line of living a few blocks north of 14th Street and certainly not in the Chamber Street zone,
mm-hmm.
there were many times where I just felt I wasn't able to access care, even though I needed care. So I've had to learn lessons, I guess, about the word resiliency means a lot to me now. And what I was not doing that made me, that what I was where I was, what that wasn't helpful, and how at a certain point you have to make deciding choices that you have a right to live and you have a right to have what you want in your life, and you and that that's a legitimate concern.
You experience a bit of, it sounds like, in your own way, what Dr. Valdoff called survivor guilt.
I guess in a way, but also I'm having the authorities tell me that I'm really not part of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, I've spent time in support groups with people who were first responders, and I have so much respect for their willingness to give above and beyond what more normally people do. And they say that people want to touch them because they want to feel connected. And I think it is an issue of wanting to feel connected. My journey has been very personal. Even though with my quilt project, I gave out 800 quilts, and I became very involved with the families
mm-hmm.
and the grief, but it was nothing like when I lost my father this year.
Yeah.
When you're in, I understand what the people are saying about when you're inside it, how different it is. And I would say that the way that I've been changed is that if I had met someone like Dr. Valdoff in the beginning, and it was a struggle to find good therapy,
mm-hmm.
the therapists were terribly burned out and really not capable of handling it. Even now, my therapist tells me he can't handle feelings. So I'm
that's
meeting.
That's a great thing for a therapist to tell you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For me, it's been an amazing sorting process between seeing reality and seeing what I think in my mind.
Mary Lynn, thank you so much for calling in, and it's great that you've done so much work with the quilts and otherwise to help families. Thank you. Tori in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tori.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
I'm okay, how are you?
I have to say that I am so inspired listening to the people who have called in. My situation is that I had just buried my mother weeks before September 11th.
Mm.
And then I lost my best friend in the South Tower who had stayed behind to make sure everybody was out. And since that time, I feel like I'm on, I don't know, like I took an exit ramp and I've been going along, but on the service road, not on the main road, that there's a part of me that is completely detached.
Now, I'm sorry to say that we only have 30 seconds left in the program, but you've heard so many people this hour talking about getting back on the main road of life.
Exactly. And it's I can't seem to get it. I can't seem to find it.
Are you getting any professional help?
No.
Yeah, well, maybe a therapist could help you, you know, get it, or maybe even just on your own, you know, after hearing all these people who are so personally affected, having found their ways to move on, it's going to help you find that next step.
Yeah. It's been just, I thank everyone who's shared how they found ways to get on.
And Tori, I thank you very much for calling. Good luck to you. And I also thank everyone who called up and shared some of your experiences and feelings and changes this morning. Nuala McGovern produced this program with Jim Colgan, Priya George, Lisa Allison, Kate Hines, and help from Mark Phillips for the last hour. Katie McGowan was our intern. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. Music provided by Soul Live. Email your music suggestions for Monday morning to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org and talk to you then. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org, and thanks.